I hope you're experiencing that. Thank you, Kyla. Through it all. Just think what that means. That's everything. When you're counting your blessing and when you're counting your other things in your life, that's everything, that you can have peace and have a sense of well-being. And by the way, you might have wondered why Pastor Roy was surprised that Pastor Manny was here. A group of our youth went down to the convocation that's happening in Stockton this Sabbath. They have a special youth church, so Pastor Manny thought it would be great to take them, and we agreed. You're bringing some people down here. He has no idea why.
They need church discipline.
Well, we know how to take care of you two. Actually, it's quite the reverse. The reason why Bob and Judy, you are down here with us today is because you do so much to take care of this church. Bob Jeffries is our head deacon here at English Oaks, and Judy Jeffries is our head deaconess. Now, you might think that sounds like a monopoly. A kind of situation when you see these things in business, you know, people think that people are colluding, that's a bad word now, to their advantage. Let me tell you, the collusion that Bob and Judy do together is a collusion of giving and giving and giving and giving. Scheduling volunteers, bringing together props, chairs, dinners, refreshments, all kinds of things to make things work here at English Oaks. They are one of the couples that's just behind the scenes everywhere. It's a fair guess, if something good happens here, to think to yourself, I bet Bob and Judy had something to do with that. That is definitely a fair guess. And we just want this morning to say thank you, Bob and Judy. We love you, and we feel the love of God through you. We want to appreciate you this morning. Would you please again express your gratitude? We love you guys. We got to have Judy's daughter as our neighbor up in Wallace. And I think the very first day we got here, you guys were up there moving us in. Yep. What a blessing.
At that time, we didn't know he lived across the street.
Yep, nope, that was way before. So, do you have a microphone? Would you like to say something? Not necessarily. That's exactly the answer I anticipated. But I would love if you'd share just a moment what English Oaks means to you and why you give the way you do.
I like to work behind the scenes. I'm not a public speaker, so this is difficult for me right now. But we enjoy working here, and we enjoy see the church being fulfilled, and we enjoy seeing it growing, and we're happy that we can help in any way.
Amen. Thank you.
I have more or less the same feeling that she does. I'm not a public speaker. I'm a behind-the-scenes person. I mean, whatever you need done behind the scenes, I can try to do it. But up front, I'm not happy with it.
Amen. And for those of you who don't know, just a little bit of detail, you know, we need to learn more about each other's life. Bob works over in Gilroy. You know where Gilroy is? It's about 2.5, 3 hours.
2 hours.
I was surprised the other day to find out when Judy said he was on his way back that it's so far down there that he comes over on 152 there by Los Banos to get back up here from there. And he does so much around here. She does so much around here, you just wouldn't know that he works out of town. And we thank you, and I want to take the opportunity to thank all of the volunteers that make the Ministry of English Oaks work by the power of God. Thank you so much. We're so thankful for you. Another thing that I want to highlight before we get into the message this morning is this afternoon there's a wonderful opportunity to go to Lodi Lake with the English Oaks Social Committee. You might have seen the initials in the bulletin. The SC is going to be at Lodi Lake. Well, that's the social committee. Thank you, Elizabeth, and your team for that. And what do they need to bring? If you have a kayak, bring a kayak. If you have snacks, bring snacks. And plenty of water. And sunscreen. If you're going to say water, I'm going to say sunscreen. And walking shoes. There's hiking trails there. We have a beautiful piece of nature right here in Lodi that you can enjoy. And how much better to enjoy it with friends who love Jesus. And who knows what new friends we'll make every time we go out there and among people. Would you please bow your heads with me in prayer as we seek the Lord today? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for coming to be with us this morning. We thank you for the joy that we have of being in your presence and of being with friends. Father, we ask that now that your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word. Make it come alive and bring life to us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that you've been engaging in some sort of small group fellowship as we continue in our series on the prayers of the Bible. I actually got to be in two different small group experiences this week. And you might think, with the same passage of Scripture, are you kidding? Yes, with the same passage of Scripture, with the same short passage of Scripture, I got to experience two small group experiences with the same Scripture, and they each had a unique blessing, a unique way that God spoke into my life. His presence was pulsating as we discussed the beautiful truth of His Word and who He is. So I really hope that you are participating in a small group. If you are not and would like help getting involved in a small group, please talk to me, talk to Pastor Roy. We can help you get started. It's not too late to get started in a small group experience. And yes, to get started in a small group experience is to get smarted, because it is a smart thing that you can do. If you want to grow in Jesus, grow in friendship with people, have His Word speak powerfully to you and make changes in your life that you never thought were possible, being in a small group, studying God's Word, being in a small group, even engaging in other activities, going out and having some fun together with God as a part of it, you will be strengthened and you will grow. You will get friendships. You will get less lonely. You might even forget about being lonely at all as you make friends in Jesus. Well, this morning, the great prayer of the Scripture, the great prayer of the history of God's people that we are going to focus on is none other than the Lord's Prayer. And the title of today's message is Moving Heaven and Earth. Now, you might think to yourself, what could be more basic than the Lord's Prayer? How could we possibly learn anything new about the Lord's Prayer? I want to tell you that this week, preparing and having the small group experiences, things about this prayer that I have been focusing on actually especially for about the past year and a half in my life, just this week, things have opened up. My eyes feel like they have opened up, and I've seen things that I never saw before that Jesus was doing with this prayer. It's amazing what He has done here. Now, as we begin, I want you to think about this. I want you to remember your first crush, or perhaps your second or your third crush, somewhere back there in the early crushes of your life. I want you to remember the feelings. I want you to remember what you wanted to do about it. As I recall, the deal with those early crushes was the big hurdle is, how can I get to talk to her? And me, being a person who struggles, who has instincts to be just an open book and also has struggles to be closed and invisible, trying to figure out, what do I do with these feelings? How can I say what I need to say? Oh, I remember, I think it was about third grade. It was Sally. And I just thought she was pretty. I just thought she was nice and wonderful. And somehow, I wanted her to know how I felt. But I couldn't talk to her. I couldn't say anything. So what I did was I took a piece of paper and I wrote something on it to the effect of, let me see, what did I do first? I think I actually made the paper airplane first. I folded that paper airplane, and I got it all configured, engineered, standard paper airplane. I'm trying to rack my brain back to the third grade and think exactly what style of plane I made, but I'm going to just default to the simple one, and folded it up, and there in the classroom, I can still see the classroom in my mind's eye. I can see about where I was, and I took and I folded the wings, and then I had a writing surface. Now, it wasn't the George Jones check yes or no message. I think it was something simple like, now, you'll forgive me, from this perspective, I can't bring myself to write Bobby loves Sally. So I'm going to do the right thing and write Bobby loves Stephanie. Right? That's the right thing to do. You would advise that, wouldn't you? And I took that paper and I looked about where her desk was. She wasn't in it. And I threw it. And it landed somewhere near her desk. I don't think I wanted anyone to see me, so I was strategic like that. And honestly, I have no idea to this day if she ever got the message. I think it just sat on the ground. And I'm still racking my brain. If the fuzzy memories are coming back accurately, I think I ended up picking it up myself and getting rid of it. Because I couldn't talk to her. Think about other situations where you want to talk to someone or where you think you need to talk to someone and you can't talk to them. There's something in the way. I think of a time when I was at Real Indo Academy and there was a teacher. He wasn't very popular, and I remember one time joining in some of the banter, some of the joking at his expense among others. And my conscience got to me, and I felt bad about talking about Mr. Stearns like that. Even though I didn't know him very well, I just felt bad about it. And I got my conscience being on high alert. I thought, I have to talk to Mr. Stearns, not to talk to him about what others have said, but I need to apologize to him for making fun of him behind his back. And so I was nervous. I was worried. I didn't feel good at all, but I felt like I had to do it. And so I got up my courage finally, and I don't remember if I made an appointment or just walked into his classroom and found him there, but I apologized to him. And I found out that he wasn't mad at me. I found out that he was more open than I thought, and it wasn't as bad as I thought. Maybe you've needed to talk to your boss about a situation at work. Something that needed to be straightened out, such as you're being paid too low, and you needed a raise or something like that, and you want to talk to them, but you don't want to talk to them. Maybe it's another kid at school that you heard something about them saying about you, and you wondered what the truth was, and you wanted to talk to them, whatever grade that you're in, and find out what's really going on, and you're afraid to talk to them. What is the root reason why I was afraid to talk to Sally? What's the root reason why you might be afraid to talk to your boss? After you've had a fight, what is the root reason why you might be afraid to talk to your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend? What is the root reason behind all of these things? Isn't it that you don't know what's in their heart towards you? Right? I didn't know if I would talk to Sally, if she would laugh in my face if I told her how I felt. You don't know if you go to your boss telling him it's really time for a raise. You don't know if it's going to actually put you at a disadvantage in the workplace now for being so cheeky as to come to her and say, you need a raise, or this situation at work isn't working for me. You don't know if you're going to make things worse or better. All because these times when we're shy, when we're afraid to talk to someone, we don't know what's in their hearts. Well, that's exactly the kind of situation that Jesus, I have learned, is addressing in the Lord's Prayer. If you turn to Matthew chapter 6 and go on down through the verses a little bit, you'll see Jesus starting to talk about prayer. Prayer, talking to God, talking to the creator of the universe. And as he gives these scenarios about how not to pray, I started to see he's talking about how to approach the God of the universe, how to be able to open our hearts to him, and he sets the backdrop by talking about how not to. The first one he says is, don't approach God like the guy that Jesus talked about in a story at another time. You'll find it in Luke chapter 18. The guy who comes to make sure he's in public, to make sure people can hear him, and he comes to God talking about how great he is, how much he's not needing anything, how much he is doing a favor to God by being on his side. Jesus said, don't pray to be seen by others. He said the hypocrites do that. They stand on the street corners. They stand outside the temple, and they pray loudly so that other people can hear them. Do not pray to be heard by other people, Jesus said. Do not pray as if God needs you and not the other way around. Do not pray as if, looking at it from the side of perhaps even insecurities that can be behind that. Do not pray as if you need to impress God somehow. Pray as one who needs him. And then Jesus went on to tell another way not to pray. He said, don't pray repeating and repeating and repeating words, he said, like the pagans do. Because they think, he said, by their many words, they can get God to hear them. And he said, but your heavenly Father knows what you need already. So just tell him what you need. So don't come to God trying to impress him. And don't come to God as if you have to beg him for his attention. That somehow he's not interested in you. That somehow he doesn't care about you. And in the face of these two things that Jesus says not to do, he then turns and he says, in this manner pray. Jesus offers to you and me, as he did to those people on that mountain, on that hillside by Galilee all that time ago, a way to approach God that works. A way to approach God that will bring you what you need. A way to approach God that will open the channel between your heart and his. And so Jesus begins his word. And this is one of the things that struck me as I was in the small group talking about this, listening, going over his word. He didn't say, with these words pray. He said, in this manner, in this way, here's how to pray. This is the way to pray. And what are the first words? You know these words. What are the first words? Our Father. Our Father. There's two things about those words that stand out to me. Actually, one thing that actually unites them. Both of those words are words about connection. They're words about relationship, aren't they? He didn't say, my Father. You know, one of the things that I've been impressed with as I look at the prayers of the Bible, as I look at the themes of the Bible, is that God not only wants us to connect with him, He wants us to be connected with each other, to love each other, not just within the family of God, the Christians, those who have put their trust in Jesus, but among all people. God wants us to love one another. And so the prayer begins, "Our," not "my," "our Father who is in heaven." Our Father. Some people don't have great associations with the word Father. Oh, if you will read the scriptures, if you will look at Jesus, you will see that this iteration of the word Father is not to call to mind your bad experiences. It's to call to mind your greatest and deepest hopes of what a father could be. Whether you had that father or not, this is talking about your greatest and deepest hopes of a father who understands you, a father who always loves you, a father who's always there for you, a father who can supply all of your need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Our Father who is in heaven, our Father who sees everything from the big picture, from above it all, who knows what you need, who cares about you, who sees the path of your life from the beginning, clear on to the end and on into forever, our Father who is in heaven. And then we exalt him as holy. But I want to get right to the part that really speaks to me about his heart. Because up until this week, I've read these words a little bit differently than I do now. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As I've read those words, as I've prayed those words, the prayer that goes through my heart is, God, we've messed things up with our ways. We want your ways now. We want you to be in charge. Right now, I want you to be in charge of my life. I want you to lead in my life, in the world around me, among my loved ones and others, in our country. Father, please have your way. And please, may the day come soon when Jesus comes and everything is under your direction. Everything is in harmony with you. And then I saw the prayer turning a corner when it gets into our needs, human needs, and everything. But I saw something different this week. And I want you to see it because it takes us right into the Father's heart. Remember, your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And then it comes to the requests part. Give us this day our daily bread. What I realized this week is that this is not turning a corner. When we go from your will be done, kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're not turning a corner and saying, okay, and now's my time to say what I need in life. I need bread, I need forgiveness, etc., etc., etc. No. This is actually expressing God's will on earth right now for you. Because the good news that's right in this prayer is God wants you to have what you need. Do you know that? It is the will of God for you to have what you need. And so when we say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we turn to bread, we say, Father, I know it's your will for me and my family, for people, all of us, to have what we need. The insiders, the outsiders, because it isn't give me this day my daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. It is his will for all of us to have what we need. I want to be a part of that, don't you? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we turn the corner. Forgive us our debts. What's that about? That's about you, me, all of us, anybody who is willing to be reconciled to God. The sin, the distrust, anything that would come between our heart and his, he wants it taken away. It is his will for you to be reconciled to God. Anybody you can think of, your children, your friends, your enemies, it is his will for them to be reconciled to God. As we forgive our debtors, guess what? It is his will for us to live in reconciliation with each other. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This isn't turning the corner from the lofty part that focuses on God and finally getting to our part where we need bread and forgiveness and stuff and not healed relationships with other people. This is His will. And He wants you to bring it to Him. Not just when you pray the Lord's Prayer, but in your very heart and your mindset towards Him as the loving Father that He is. These things are His will for all of us. And as we pray, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we not only ask Him to do it for us, but we ask Him to make us a part of what He wants, that everyone would have what they need, that everyone would be reconciled to Him, and that everyone would be reconciled to each other. You're asking Him for what He already wants. Doesn't that make it easier when you're going to ask someone for something and you know it's already what they wanted? Oh, nominating committee members, you tell me. When you've been making your phone calls and asking people to do different ministries in the church, doesn't it make it easier if you know they already want to do it? Yeah, I know the difference between those phone calls. Man, the phone call where you're not sure and you weren't even sure on the nominating committee, is this the person that should do this or wants to do this? You sit there and you look at your phone for a little bit, depending on your personality. Some of you, it makes it you want to do it harder and faster, but that's not my personality. You look at your phone and you go, oh, I got to make this phone call. But if you know they already want to do it, dial it in. Call them up. Hello. You're not worried at all. Are they happy to hear from me? Of course they're going to be happy to hear from me, because I'm going to ask them to do what they already want to do. This is your Father in heaven. This prayer is the answer to the accusations of Satan since deep in time up in heaven when he questioned the Father's heart. Is he in it for himself, or is he in it for us? And the answer that Jesus gives in this prayer for us, as our hearts might be hesitant to come to our Heavenly Father because we're not sure what His heart is towards us, is His heart is for you. The good that you want for yourself and others, He wants too. You're asking Him what He already wants. It is His will for you to have what you need. It is His will for you to be reconciled with Him. It is His will for you to be reconciled with others around you. You're asking Him what He already wants. This is His will. This is His heart. Isn't that good news? Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. It is His will to rescue you. Oh, man. When you've gone astray, when you've made a mistake, when you've made a mess of your life, isn't that the worst time that you're not sure if you can approach Him? Isn't that the worst time when you think His heart might be against you? That He might at the very least be embarrassed by you? And think it's good time for you to get some time out, some time where you're on your own, when you're at a distance from Him, where you're unsure where you stand with Him. No! His heart is for you most at those dark times. His heart is for you most at that time when you've gone astray. He's willing to leave the 99 sheep that are safe to go find you, whatever it costs Him. And the story of the cross is that story. That He risked the Godhead and the eternal connection of the Godhead so that He could have you in His family, reconciled to Him, walking with Him, destined for eternity in love and trust with Him, friendship with Him. This is His will. Anytime your heart tells you, He can't want to hear from me, that is Satan lying to you. repeating his accusations, repeating the accusations that he made to Eve there at the tree. He isn't really for you. He's trying to keep good things from you. He is for you. And he is for everyone. So, as it says in Hebrews, because of Jesus, because of him dying on the cross, taking all of our sin and guilt that has separated us from God and just throwing it away to the depths of the sea, washing it away completely, standing in your place so that you are as acceptable with the Father as Jesus himself is, you are able to come to him boldly, as it says, before the throne of grace, because that's who he is. He wants you. He loves you. He wants to meet your needs. He wants to reconcile you to himself. He wants to heal your relationships with others, and he wants to rescue you every time you need rescuing. Hallelujah! What a mighty God. What an amazing, loving God we have. He's worthy of praise and glory. He's worthy of us coming to him and staying with him, never leaving him, because he has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that's especially good at those times that you can think of when you have conversations that you need to have with someone that scares you. He's with you. He's already for you. He is just what we saw in Jesus when Jesus walked on the face of this earth. Just as Jesus welcomed sinners, no matter what other people thought of him when he did so, so the Father welcomes sinners. And even in one picture that Jesus gave him, sacrificing all dignity, runs out, lifts up his skirt, and runs out to meet the sinners so he can welcome them back home. This is the Father. If you have seen me, Jesus said to Philip, you have seen the Father. Everything we love about Jesus, who loves us, is true of the Father. Do not be afraid. Do not hesitate. Come boldly to him right now with your need. Come boldly to him with your heart exactly as it is. Come boldly to him with your requests. Come boldly to him with your broken relationships. Come boldly to him with your guilt, with your fears, anything. Please come boldly, courageously, hopefully, happily to him, because he's been waiting for you, and he wants to meet your need. So, you've been afraid? Have you felt that wall between him and you? Have you wondered about his heart? This morning I'm asking you, see him as he really is. See him the way he really is. Let the accusations of Satan fall by the wayside and self-destruct, because they are lies. He is ready for you. He is waiting for you. I love the statement from Steps to Christ, page 93. It says, prayer is the opening of our hearts to God as to a friend. He is on your side. He loves you. Make it a pattern in your life. Start the day out praying. Can you do that? As you wake up, start the day out. Turn your heart to him and pray. As you anticipate the things that you're going to be doing this day, submit them to him. Ask him. As you realize the needs as they come to you, as you wake up and as you go through the day, as you realize the needs that you have, practical needs. There's nothing too nitty-gritty, nothing too down to earth for him. He cares about that bill that just came up that you forgot about and you didn't have the money to cover. He cares about that. He cares about the hurt in your heart because someone said something they didn't even know would hurt you, but it just meant something to you that crushed your spirit a little bit. He wants you to bring that to him. He cares about it. His will is to heal you. The sickness, the person that's in your heart that you love, The people gathered here after church for 15 minutes who are praying for kids to come back to Jesus. He cares. He wants that. You're coming to someone who loves you. So come and come and don't stop coming. Pray without ceasing. Let your heart always be open to Him. As you encounter the circumstances of life, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. And He will keep opening His arms and receiving you. That's the message that I get from this prayer that Jesus gave to us. We have a Heavenly Father who loves us and whose arms are open wide. We don't need to worry and be afraid to come to Him because of what He'll think of us when we come to Him. What we need to concern ourselves is what would ever keep us back. Let's just go to Him and go to Him and go to Him with everything, everyone in our lives, and He will receive us. Now, this is something that you've maybe never been asked to do in church before. But I'm going to ask you to sing the Lord's Prayer in church. Would you stand with me? And if you don't know the melody, people around you do. And you can just listen and follow along. But this is our closing prayer today. I want you to think about the meaning of this. Sing it to the Father who loves you. Sing it to the Father who's already reaching out to meet your need, to do the healing that you need. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And now it's going to get higher. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory God we serve. May He watch over you and be with you throughout this week. When you feel like you're about to falter, may He be right there and may you sense Him lifting you up. When you feel ugly things come into your heart, may He be right there to pour His love into your heart. When there's a brokenness in a relationship that surfaces in your heart and in your mind, may you have the assurance that He is there to heal. When there's a need that comes up unanticipated or one that's been tugging on you for a long time, may you be assured that He will meet that need as you come to Him. May He go with you. May His love go with you now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Love on one another. Make sure everyone knows that they have been welcomed and loved here.